Well, today's program will continue to look at Blessed Mother Teresa, and I'll address anyone who thinks that they might not be doing a good enough job with this preparation. Stay tuned, because it's coming right up. Hey there, happy Saturday. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 30 minutes. Today, we enter day 16 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and we continue to look at the life of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Now, because I had to explain about the doctrine of Mary, of all graces coming through Mary yesterday, it took a little extra time. I didn't get to read any scripture on the program. I want to make up for that today, because our daily mass readings are very, very good today. So I want to make sure that we can get to some of them at the end of the show. But in addition to talking about Blessed Mother Teresa today, I felt that it was time to address anyone, and this happens all the time. So if you're feeling this way, congratulations. You're perfectly normal. Anyone who may be thinking, I'm not doing a good enough job, I'm not taking this preparation seriously, I'm not feeling anything, I'm not going to properly be able to consecrate myself because I'm just not getting this. Are you feeling that way? Now, if you are, I want you to relax, because really, that is so normal. Normally, we deal with this toward the end of the retreat. But I feel inspired. We're at just about at the halfway point now. I feel inspired to do it today, because I want you to keep going. If you made it this far, I want you to keep going. Now, even if you decide on October the 7th, the total consecration isn't for you, I would really, really urge you to keep going, listen to the material each day, and be open to it. Because you're going to end up, even if you don't make your total consecration, you're going to end up becoming closer to Our Lady and subsequently to our Lord by going through this preparation day period. Now, very few people who go through the 33 days do not make total consecration. A few have decided not to do it, but to the best of my knowledge, they did it the next year. I would urge you not to do that. If you think you're not ready and you're going to put it off to next year, I would encourage you. Now, you can do what you want, but I would encourage you to go through with it anyway, because you're going to miss a whole year of the Blessed Mother working for you and helping you grow closer to Jesus. Now, remember, you can always take back your total consecration at any time, so you're not locking this in for the rest of your life. I mean, you are. You're saying, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, but you can change your mind. I'm the type of guy who gets a little nervous signing contracts, being pressured into a sale of any kind, so I get it. I get the feeling of fear, commitment, because if you're listening to this program, I bet you take your faith seriously. That's a good thing. And you might be a little nervous. Well, what if this isn't for me? So anyway, know that you can reverse it, but I want to do my best without forcing you to encourage you to go through with this, because I know it's going to change your life. I want to address you if you're struggling today, if you think, well, maybe I'm not doing a good enough job. First, let me say to anyone who has already made their total consecration and who is thinking, well, I made this before, it didn't make any change in my life, here's what I would say. Number one, you don't know that, because you don't know what your past year would have been like had you not made your total consecration. And I think, and I say this with all due respect, so please don't take offense. Sometimes we get a little bit too full of ourselves, and we give ourselves a little bit more importance than we're worth. All right? Now, again, remember, I'm not trying to insult you, but we need this. We need this wake-up call, because I hear this a lot. Oh, yeah, I'm just as big of a sinner as I was before. Well, how do you know? If you made your total consecration and you lived a year or more having made that consecration, how would you know what you would have been like had you not made it? It makes sense, doesn't it? The fact that you're doing it again this year means that you had the incentive, the desire to do it again. If you didn't make your total consecration, you very well might not have had that desire. The trouble with us, and I include myself here, because I can be really tough on myself with these spiritual type exercises, is that we want to move ourselves along faster than the Holy Spirit wants us to move along. Let the Holy Spirit decide where you should be spiritually. Your job and my job is to show up every day for work, if you will, and let the Lord guide us. We do our job, and we let him guide us where we need to be and how fast we'll grow closer to him. Mary is at work behind the scenes. That's a fact. When you make a total consecration, she is at work. When you turn to the Lord and you ask and you express that desire to grow closer to him through this help given to us by the Blessed Mother, he's not going to say no. And again, we're too hard on ourselves sometimes, and it really is rooted in pride. Because I think that I should be a better person. I'm better than that. I shouldn't be sinning like that. I'm mad because I'm not making better progress. It's me, me, me. Well, you submit yourself humbly to the Holy Spirit to guide you along the path. And if you're not moving fast enough, maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe he's trying to teach you something. Maybe he's trying to get you used to depending on him. Maybe if you were making tremendous progress, you wouldn't lean on him as much. You know, and I'm just trying to put a positive spin on it, because there are times when I don't feel like a very good person. There are times when I don't feel like praying. That's normal. Feelings don't matter. What feelings can do is give you an indication of something that may be going on inside of you. So there are times when if your interest isn't there, if your interest in praying isn't there, well, maybe that is telling you something. But it's not a sin. If you pray anyway, even when you don't feel like it, which is, by the way, something you have to do, you're doing what God wants you to do. Now, if you're angry all the time and you're constantly worried, well, then maybe that is indicating you've got some internal character flaws that you need to work on with the help of the Lord. But it's not sinful. So don't get swayed by your feelings. And I tell this to not only the people who are renewing their total consecration, but the people making it for the first time. On October the 7th, if you don't feel anything, it's okay. It doesn't mean it didn't work. We don't validate this consecration through our feelings. Nowhere did St. Louis de Montfort say, the way you can tell that this worked is if you feel like it worked. So I encourage you to keep going. It does work. You are better off having made this total consecration than having not made the total consecration. Now, if you're in the position where you made it in the past and you're renewing it this year, or if you're in the position where you're doing it for the first time, I want to read something to you, specifically directed to any of you who are thinking, I'm not doing a good enough job. I'm not meditating enough. I'm not taking it seriously. Guess what? That might be true. None of us are going to do this preparation perfectly. That's why we renew it every year. Now, I have in my hands a book, St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion, Consecration to Mary, Complete 5-Week Preparation by Father Helmut Libidus. This is a, I don't recommend this version, to be honest with you. It's way too detailed. To be honest, Father Gately's preparation is the best that I've seen. And I've done at least 5 of them. I'm looking at my bookshelf now. I've got at least 5 different total consecration preparations. They all have their elements, but I like Father Gately's approach the best. This one is very deep. It's heavy on the prayers. It's heavy on the scripture readings, which is not a bad thing, but I think it's too time consuming. And it's not, I don't think it's a realistic approach, but there is some good material in this. The reason I play it up this way is because Father Libidus has produced about a 420-page book for preparing for total consecration. So he's not a slacker, right? This is not a guy that's telling you, well, don't do anything, just cruise through this and you'll be fine. He's got a lot of detail in this book. So coming from him, somebody who really goes heavy on the prayers and the devotions and the gospel readings, take these words seriously. These are written in this book toward the end of the preparation. I'm giving it to you halfway through because I want to encourage you, if you're beginning to doubt that you're doing a good job, I want to encourage you to hang in there. Father states this, as we enter the final stage of our preparation for our true devotion, consecration to Mary, or more strictly speaking, our consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now remember, he's doing it at the end. I'm giving you this halfway. We may feel unworthy in proceeding with this consecration, perhaps due to some negligence during the last 4 weeks of preparation. It is rare and unlikely that anyone will have made an entirely perfect and truly acceptable preparation. Let me read that again. It is rare and unlikely that anyone will have made an entirely perfect and truly acceptable preparation, but that is not a sufficient reason for not making the consecration. Now remember, this is a priest that wrote a 420-page book for preparing you for total consecration. So if he's telling his readers that it's okay to not have made a perfect, completely perfect preparation, then those of us who are doing 33 Days to Morning Glory should heed his advice. None of us is making a perfect preparation. But what he's saying is what I say to you. Keep going anyway. You do your best and let God do his part. Okay? All right. Let me continue on because this is good. I remind you that St. Louis only recommends a 33-day preparation, but adds that this may be shortened or lengthened at will. Now, do you hear that? St. Louis de Montfort, the person who popularized total consecration, only recommends a 33-day preparation. Therefore, and this is me talking, if you miss a day, two, three, four, five, whatever, I don't want to make it too easy for you to miss, because I don't want you to miss. I want you to make every day of this 33-day preparation. But in case an emergency pops up or you can't do it, I don't want you to neglect your family or your other responsibilities to make this, you know, to listen to my radio show. I'd love to have you do it, but you've got other responsibilities, and I get that. I don't want you to think that if you miss a day or so, you might be sick. We've had this happen in the past. I don't want you to think that you need to quit. And this is what Father's saying. St. Louis de Montfort recommended a 33-day preparation. I also remind you, Father states, that the just man sins seven times a day. And so it would be surprising if you did not fail in some way or another in your preparations. Pay attention now. Nothing would please the devil more than to make you miss the consecration through feelings of inadequacy or guilt. Little word of caution, a little editorial comment on Gary's part. It's always a good idea not to do things that please the devil. Amen? So the devil's going to be happy if you quit. He's going to be really happy if you quit, because he doesn't want you to grow closer to Christ. He doesn't like the Blessed Mother either, because he knows she'll bring you to Christ. So he wants you to quit. Just keep the no pressure, but just keep that in mind. And nothing, Father writes, would please our Lord and our Lady more than a humble admission of your inadequacy as you proceed along your way. Just as children are largely inadequate when they start a coaching session, only to improve with each successive session, so too should each annual renewal show an improvement in our preparation. All right, now that's all I wanted to read. I think that's a powerful message. I want you to put aside those thoughts that you did a bad job in the past, that you're doing a bad job now, that you're not good enough, that you're for some reason not feeling it, you're not getting it. Let's put it aside. You're here today. Thank you for showing up. I'm glad to have the company. We're going to continue to work through this, because this is going to bring you closer to Jesus. And once you make your total consecration, let the Blessed Mother work with the Holy Spirit behind the scenes to make it happen. You do your part, and we'll talk as we near the end what you can do to live out this total consecration. But in the meantime, you got somebody working for you to bring you closer to the Lord. Now, if you need encouragement, you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather here together to continue our journey through the 33-day preparation for total consecration. We ask you to bless us, to protect us, and to encourage us and keep us strong as we strive to learn more about you through your Son Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her prayers now, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. And Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you'll notice, our list of intercessors is growing. Now, I'm doing that intentionally. Next week, we'll add St. John Paul II to our list. We got people praying for us. Let's continue to hang in there, okay? Great to be here with you on the weekend. I'm Gary Zimek. We do this program typically Monday through Friday, but we are doing the show as well during the weekends throughout this 33-day preparation period for total consecration. We make our total consecration on October the 7th, the memorial of Our Lady of the Rosary. You're doing a great job. Your questions are awesome. I really appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your support. Let's keep going forward. Today, we're in day 16. Let's look at the gift God gave on September the 10th. In the overview of Mother Teresa's life that we reflected on yesterday, recall that one crucial event changed everything. The September the 10th call within a call. The experience of Jesus' thirst for love and for souls. For many years, Mother Teresa did not speak about this experience to anyone except her spiritual director. Then, 4 years before her death, on March 25th, 1993, after reading a Lenten message of Pope John Paul II on I Thirst, she felt moved to reveal her secret in a letter to her missionaries of charity. Because this letter seems to reveal the heart of Mother Teresa better than anything else, I'll now cite it at length, and it will constitute our entire reflection for today. So I'm going to proceed to read Mother Teresa's letter. Remember, Mother Teresa had a great devotion to our Lady. So this week we're spending time studying not only her life, but her Marian devotion. What makes up Mother Teresa? We're going to read this letter in her own words, which will tell us a lot about the woman, Mother Teresa. After reading Holy Father's letter on I Thirst, I was struck so much. I cannot tell you what I felt. His letter made me realize more than ever how beautiful is our vocation. We are reminding the world of his thirst, something that was being forgotten. Holy Father's letter is a sign to go more into what is this great thirst of Jesus for each one. It is also a sign for Mother that the time has come for me to speak openly of the gift God gave me September the 10th, to explain as fully as I can what means for me the thirst of Jesus. Jesus wants me to tell you again how much love he has for each one of you, beyond all you can imagine. I worry some of you still have not really met Jesus one-to-one, you and Jesus alone. We may spend time in chapel, but have you seen with the eyes of your soul how he looks at you with love? Do you really know the living Jesus, not from books, but from being with him in your heart? Have you heard the loving words he speaks to you? Ask for the grace. He is longing to give it. Until you can hear Jesus in the silence of your own heart, you will not be able to hear him saying, I thirst, in the hearts of the poor. Never give up this daily intimate contact with Jesus as the real living person, not just the idea. How can we last even one day without hearing Jesus say, I love you? Impossible. Our soul needs that as much as the body needs to breathe the air. If not, prayer is dead, meditation only thinking. Jesus wants you each to hear him speaking in the silence of your heart. Be careful of all that can block that personal contact with the living Jesus. The devil may try to use the hurts of life, sometimes our own mistakes, to make you feel it's impossible that Jesus really loves you and is really cleaving to you. This is a danger for all of us. And so sad, because it is completely opposite of what Jesus is really wanting to tell you. Not only that he loves you, but even more, he longs for you. He misses you when you don't come close. He thirsts for you. He loves you always, even when you don't feel worthy. When not accepted by others, even by yourself sometimes, he is the one who always accepts you. My children, you don't have to be different for Jesus to love you. Only believe. You are precious to him. Bring all you are suffering to his feet. Only open your heart to be loved by him as you are. He will do the rest. You all know in your mind that Jesus loves you, but in this letter, Mother wants to touch your heart instead. That is why I ask you to read this letter before the Blessed Sacrament, the same place it was written, so Jesus himself can speak to each one. His words on the wall of every missionary of Charity's chapel, "I thirst," they are not from the past only, but alive here and now, spoken to you. Do you believe it? If so, you will hear, you will feel his presence. Let it become as intimate for each of you, just as for Mother. This is the greatest joy you could give me. Mother will try to help you understand, but Jesus himself must be the one to say to you, "I thirst." Hear your own name, not just once, every day. If you listen with your heart, you will hear, you will understand. Why does Jesus say, "I thirst"? What does it mean? Something so hard to explain in words. If you remember anything from Mother's letter, remember this: "I thirst" is something much deeper than Jesus just saying, "I love you." Until you know deep inside that Jesus thirsts for you, you can't begin to know who he wants to be for you, or who he wants you to be for him. Our Lady was the first person to hear Jesus cry, "I thirst," with St. John. And I am sure Mary Magdalene, because Our Lady was there on Calvary, she knows how real, how deep is his longing for you and for the poor. Do we know? Do we feel as she? Ask her to teach. Her role is to bring you face to face, as John and Magdalene, with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. Before it was Our Lady pleading with Mother, now it is Mother in her name pleading with you. Listen to Jesus' thirst. Let it be for each a word of life. How do you approach the thirst of Jesus? Only one secret. The closer you come to Jesus, the better you will know his thirst. Repent and believe, Jesus tells us. What are we to repent? Our indifference, our hardness of heart. What are we to believe? Jesus thirsts even now, in your heart and in the poor. He knows your weakness. He wants only your love, wants only the chance to love you. He is not bound by time. Whenever we come close to him, we become partners of Our Lady, St. John, Magdalene. Hear him. Hear your own name. Make my joy and yours complete. There's not too much I can add to that. Today's prayer: come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, help me to listen to Jesus' thirst. So I advise you today, think about those words. Jesus thirsts for each one of us. What does that mean? Does that motivate you? Does that move you in any way? Does it increase your desire to satiate his thirst, to grow closer to him? If so, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing with this total consecration. We're trying to grow closer to our Lord and satisfy his thirst. If you have questions, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to let you hear the Lord speak now in this powerful gospel from today's Mass, Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. These are going to be some challenging words. The Lord wants us to really think about this today. When a large crowd gathered with people from one town after another journeying to Jesus, he spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled. And the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." Then his disciples asked him, "What is the meaning of this parable?" He answered, "Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to the rest they are made known through parables, so that they may look but not see, and hear but not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones who have heard. But the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in time of temptation. As for the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit through perseverance. Now, these are the words of the Lord to us today. Let's think about what he says here with regard to the words from the cross talked about by Mother Teresa today. I thirst. Jesus thirsts for you. We know that's a fact. We know those words are his words while he was dying on the cross. He thirsts for you. Doesn't just love you. He thirsts for you and for your love in return. Are you going to take those words seriously and do something about them? Really meditate on them? Or are you going to ignore them and just go on with your life? Let's face it, it takes perseverance to listen to this show every day for 33 days in a row. I know I'm entertaining. I know you love me, but I can't even say that with a straight face. But you're showing up here every day, and you're spending 30 minutes. That's impressive, because you care. You care about growing closer to our Lord, and you want the help of Our Lady to make it possible. You're not content with living the life that you've been living. You want to change. And that requires perseverance. Even if you want it, you're going to have days when you think, "Oh, man, I can't stand to listen to that guy again today," right? Hey, you're not telling me anything I don't know. I get that. I really do. I mean, I understand. Sometimes I don't even like to listen to myself, but that's beside the point. But you show up anyway because you know this is part of the process. This is part of that 33-day preparation process. And you're getting good information from Father Gately and these great saints whose writings he's compiled in this book. So you're going to be ready to make your total consecration. But you've got to make that commitment to show up every day for 33 days. You're halfway through. Congratulations. I hope you're going to be back tomorrow. I'll be here. Probably in the early afternoon. I'll try to get the show loaded up around 2 o'clock or so. Might be a little later than that. Don't panic if that's the case. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth is my email address. I can't thank you enough for spending your Saturday with me. God willing, I hope to be with you here again tomorrow. Remember, I'll save a place for you, and we'll get together and continue this look at Blessed Mother Teresa. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.